Brothers and sisters, the feast of the baptism of the Lord is celebrated with a great paradox at the center of this feast. Jesus, who is without sin and in no need of repentance, approaches John, who is preaching a message of repentance for baptism. John immediately recognized the oddity of the situation, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, not you by me." Nevertheless, Jesus instructed John to baptize him, as it was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. In our scripture study at St. Margaret Mary this past week, there was a lot of confusion as to what that phrase, "to fulfill all righteousness," meant. When we look to the early church fathers, we learn that the fulfillment of all righteousness was understood to mean that Jesus was validating John's ministry, which was aimed at preparing the way of the Lord. Jesus was bringing John's ministry to fulfillment. John's ministry was fulfilled when, upon baptizing Jesus, he saw the Spirit of God come upon Jesus and remain with him. Recall that John had been told that the one upon whom he saw the Spirit of God descend and remain was, in fact, the Messiah. So through his baptism, Jesus' identity is revealed. But the identity of Jesus isn't limited to that of being the Messiah. St. Matthew informs us that not only did the Spirit of God descend upon Jesus, but the voice of God declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And friends, that last statement has profound implications, not only in terms of understanding who Jesus is, but in terms of understanding our own identity as well. In fact, this statement is so powerfully illuminating that Blessed John Paul II declared the baptism of the Lord the first luminous mystery of the Rosary, the first mystery of light. When we reflect upon the baptism of the Lord, we recognize that light is shed upon Jesus' identity. He's not a great prophet or a great king. He's the Son of God, the Beloved, with whom the Father is well pleased. And hence we do well to listen to him and to follow and obey him. But the baptism of the Lord is not only an event that sheds light upon Jesus' identity, it reveals our identity as well. When we follow Christ's command and are baptized, we're given a new identity. Through our baptism into Christ, we become united to Christ. And because we are united to Christ, we too are properly called beloved. And thus, in the baptism of the Lord, our own identity is discovered as well. We are, in fact, God's beloved. St. John, in the first letter that he wrote, has this to say about being the beloved of Christ, the beloved of God, I should say. "As for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now." So we are God's children. We are his beloved. The famed spiritual author Henry Nouwen reflected upon what it means to be beloved in his book, The Life of the Beloved. Nouwen says that being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence. Yet at the same time, he notes that we often skate around the truth of who we are. We forget that we are beloved. We allow others to convince us that we're worthless. Rather than listening to the voice that definitively declares, "You are my beloved," we listen to other voices. Voices that often seem louder as they cry, "Prove that you are worth something. Do something relevant, spectacular, or powerful, and then you will earn the love you so desire." We see this theme throughout literature, throughout the movies. We can think to Hamlet, to Shakespeare, and that scene between Polonius and Laertes. Polonius is the father of Laertes, and he says, "This above all else, to thine own self be true." And of course, neither of them listen to that advice, and they both meet their demise. We could think to something like The Lion King, where Simba loses sight of his identity and goes off wandering around with Timon and Pumbaa aimlessly in the jungle for a while. We can think to Star Wars, where Anakin Skywalker loses sight of his identity and becomes Darth Vader and terrorizes the galaxy for many years. Such voices are always diabolical. And we see this in Scripture itself. In Scripture, we see the devil come to Christ to tempt him. And when the devil tempts Christ, it's this very identity as the beloved that he challenges. He says, "If you are the Son of God," that is to say, if you are the beloved, then do spectacular things. If you're the Son of God, then change these rocks into bread. Take possession of worldly wealth. Jump from this cliff and command that angels come and save you. Spectacular feats, no doubt. But being the beloved is not about spectacular accomplishments. Jesus was the beloved long before he accomplished anything. He was the beloved before he began to heal people. He was the beloved before he died on the cross and rose again. He was the beloved even before the work of creation had begun. Being the beloved had nothing to do with what he did or what he would accomplish. Being the beloved is about the very core of his identity. In Christian baptism, our identity is changed. When we're baptized in the Trinitarian formula, that is to say, when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we take on a new identity. Our old self ceases to exist, and we are united with Christ in such a way that we become a new person. In the rite of baptism, the minister of the sacrament informs the newly baptized that they have become a new creation in Christ. And these aren't fluffy, poetic words. These are descriptive words, informing the newly baptized of the very real change that has occurred in them as a result of their baptism. Through the power of the sacrament, the newly baptized have become grafted onto Christ, which means that they, like Christ, are beloved. Friends, it's vitally important that we who have been baptized into Christ understand that we are in fact beloved. And again, we see this in our literature. We see this when Simba realizes who he is. He's able to live out his full potential to become the king. When Anakin Skywalker realizes his identity, he's able to overthrow the emperor. So understanding who we are as the beloved is important because it allows us to reach our full potential. It allows us to become the people that God is calling us to be. At the core of being the beloved is this understanding that we are, in fact, the beloved of God, who, and that cannot change at all. You see, we can do things that displease God. We can commit sin, but being his beloved is at the heart of our identity, and that doesn't change. You see, our hardness of heart doesn't transfer onto God. God has no hardness of heart. So no matter what we do, we are always his beloved. And in this truth lies our freedom. For when we realize that we are in fact loved by God, that we are his beloved, we don't need to seek approval from anyone else. This means that we are truly free. For when we need the approval of other people, we become slaves to those people. We allow those people to manipulate us. We allow them to tell us what we need to wear, how we need to live, how we need to act. And we lose our freedom. But God doesn't play that game. With God, we're not manipulated. We're beloved. As his beloved, God wants us to reach our fullest potential. And so he teaches us his ways and gives us his commands so that we can reach that potential. St. John in that same letter that I read from earlier, tells us that that potential is that we will become like him. We will become like God. And so God gives us his ways and his commands so that we can become like him, that we can reach that full potential that we have. So with God, we cease to be slaves and we find ourselves being free. Free to reach our true potential. Free to live in the truth of who we are. Free to live as his beloved. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all God's beloved.